baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jetter Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious.
Hello!
I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Hey, you bite your tongue if this is not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
Well, that should be good corn time. It's a movie.
And the only thing left to say is happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
Sarah. You're listening to the Lost World podcast, where we talk everything Lost World, Jurassic Park's greatest film. Now you're listening to the podcast, well, Set Jetter Saturdays with Robert Patterson, the author of the website setjetter.com. Check it out today. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad. Much better than last week. Had a touch of COVID.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're okay.
Yeah, I'm good, yeah.
How did you find out? Did you feel sick?
I wasn't like 100%, no temperature, no, I could still taste and smell. More or less kind of felt like a sinus infection. So just for my own peace of mind, I'm like, oh, I'll take a test. And I'm like, ooh, positive. So otherwise,
yeah, sorry that happened.
I would not have known, but.
Well, I'm glad you're conscious enough to go take a test and like do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we got a great show tonight. We're going to be getting into all kinds of fun things, but we'll kick it off with what you've been watching. And I'm just going to blow through mine quickly. I finally watched We Own the City finale, which I thought was good. Stranger Things, which I didn't think was that good.
Ooh, I've not finished that yet, and the latest half season. And I was watching a recap of the end of last season, and I realized like, oh, I don't think I even finished that. They were talking about stuff that I never saw. So I have some trouble getting through these Stranger Things.
I don't think you're alone. And with the recap with the last season, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot they were at the mall. That was so long ago. I know these things take a while to film, but like, and with COVID, it put a delay maybe, but it was like 3-4 years ago, I think.
I know, it's weird, but.
So, yeah, so Stranger Things, we'll see how the second half of the season goes, but they got to end this thing already. It's like, there's another season after this. I mean, kids are going to be like 40.
Which is fine. Let's just, I don't know. They need to do something.
What I will say, though, and I do give credit to Stranger Things, is they're not doing the Walking Dead route where there's like 3 spinoff shows going on at once. I'm surprised they haven't done that. But Have you heard something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-trick pony. It's done a great job as far as 80s nostalgia, but like, I'm just glad they're not doing like stranger-er things, you know, or something.
You never know.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'm all caught up except for this week. Have you been watching?
I have been watching. It's a nail biter when Leia's in trouble. I hope she'll survive. Like,
Is she gonna get out of that jam? It is funny when you see that.
Issues, especially like one of the early episodes, she had a lightsaber to Owen, Uncle Owen, and I'm like, well, I think he's fine.
I think he's gonna live.
But it's a strange. We'll just say it's no Mando. I'll tell you that.
It's definitely no Mando, and a lot of it is kind of at least the first few episodes are Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor looking tired and disheveled, and you're like, oh, it's so choresome for him to like wake up. He's like, oh.
It is Tatooine, you know.
But it is, there are some scenes that I really like, so I'm on board so far. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. And I was like, I've not seen a barricade like that since Under the Dome.
How are we going to get past this
3-laser barricade? Well, there's 12 feet on each side.
Under the Dome.
You also have spaceships, and it's a desert.
Right, it's amazing.
And
we watched the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. I'm sure you have too, Robert, right?
I have not. I'm sure it's wonderful.
I mean, nothing spells swashbuckling like Penelope Cruz dressed as a pirate.
Did you watch all of them or just the first one?
I watched the first 4. There's a 5th one that I haven't watched yet.
Okay. Well, good.
I didn't realize there was 5. I thought there was like only 4. I'm like, oh, there's 5 of these things?
Can you tell the difference between them, or is it like Fast and Furious?
It's like Fast and Furious, except for the very first one.
Okay.
Curse of the Black Pearl, I think, is a great standalone movie. It's a smart movie. It's fun. The rest, I couldn't tell you the difference.
It was new and fresh at the time and kind of a fun take. And then let's drive this into the ground.
Yeah, let's do this big time. Well, the difference between that and the rest, I think Captain Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp's character, is like creative or clever, I should say, and like smart and witty. And then he just devolves into this like drunken idiot. Where he's just like, oh, the rum, but what about the getting drunk with the rum? And it's like he's like a character in the other ones, and you're like, ugh. And then I watched 1917.
Which is the same as everything else. Like, right from Pirates of the Caribbean to 1970, it's about the same, you know?
It's the same thing. It just slides right into it. But yeah, so that's what I've been watching. How about yourself? Anything good?
Physical season 2 started. I'm not sure. It's on Apple Plus. And so I kind of enjoyed the first season. Not sure where season 2 is going, but I love Rose Byrne. So can't go wrong. I do too. I finally finished the Offer. I guess it finally finished 10 episodes.
There's 10 of those things?
Oof. Yes, it was. And then you get to a certain point, I'm like, well, I have to see this through, you know?
Yeah, you do.
And it's kind of a lot of same things that, you know, when Leia in trouble, but it's like, I don't know if we're going to get Al Pacino or not. The studio said no to Brando for sure. There's no way around it. And, you know, like,
how is this happening?
And they're nail biting for the, you know, like the opening night. Like, oh, I hope. I'm like, oh, for Pete's sakes. It's like, there's no drama, you know, if you all know what's coming, you know.
So The Offer is a series about the making of The Godfather?
Correct. But it's there's a dozen hour long programs on The Making of Godfather from the people that are. Made it that are mostly still alive. That is much more interesting than the kind of semi-fictionalized version that they do. And the accents are overwhelming. That it is a competition for who can out voice the other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Matthew Good is the worst because he talks through his nose the whole time. Who does he play? He plays. Oh, I can't remember. He plays the Day Made producer, and he does.
Oh, Robert Evans.
Yeah, and Robert Evans does kind of sound like that now.
But still,
no judgment on what happened to his nose over the years and why he's talking through it. But yeah, Giovanna. So
basically, it's a movie. The Offer you can refuse.
The only one I like is actually the guy that is it Justin Chambers plays Brando, and I thought he actually did a good job. And
really,
he had a look, and there was moments where he did transform into Brando and the Godfather, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of impressed with that. But
oh, that's pretty cool.
Otherwise, and then a lot of the females are mysteriously absent. Like I don't think I ever saw Talia Shire or Diane Keaton or whatever. It's like all men all the time.
Really? They're kind of a big part of the franchise.
You would think, except for Juno Temple. And so she's like the lone female. So it's strange.
Who does she play?
She plays one of the female, I think it was the secretary that eventually became a casting agent and so forth. But
okay.
It just feels like a throwaway versus I'm like, I don't know. Strange. It's strange.
Would it have been better if it was a documentary on the making of The Godfather with like interviews and stuff? Oh,
yeah, I mean, I could literally, because I was kind of curious. I'm like, is this all true? And then I'd watch some things, and like they were just much more interesting because it's real people telling real stories from what they can remember, and not this kind of made up
soap opera.
It's not made up. Yeah, it's just like forced drama and
yeah. Plus, it's not about the like characters in The Godfather. It's about the actual making of. So
correct.
Like you said, we know how it ends. The movie gets made. So do they leave it like cliffhangers such as, oh, are they gonna get Pacino? What's gonna happen?
But yeah, there was a lot like that. Like I don't know, we're never gonna be able to get to Sicily and da 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 da. I'm like, well, if you've seen the film at all, you know they do get to, you know. And so
yeah, we know how it ends.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird, run out. Like I hope, I mean, and Francis Ford Coppola, he was gonna get fired. You know, that's a real story. But
yeah,
it doesn't add any suspense when you know what's happening.
So, how it ends.
Yeah.
That is like the Leia thing.
Yeah, just like who knows what's going to happen. But anyway, obviously, I watched the whole thing. And then I actually did watch The Godfather, all three of them, just to kind of...
Oh, wow.
Well, because I thought, okay, let me take a relook. And I'm like, okay, they did some good job at the sets and and so forth. But
yeah,
by the end,
I mean, it's a beautifully shot movie.
Yeah. So, anyway, leaving that.
How are you? It's completed now. You watched all 10 episodes.
I did. So I highly recommend it.
I highly recommend it. Please check it out today.
You just need to watch a few minutes of here and there, and you're like, "Oof,
it's bad."
It's yeah. So I watched Invaders from Mars, the '86 remake, because it just had its
anniversary,
and I did a quick locations. I put some.
Let me see your neck. Wow.
Yeah, Karen Black, Louise Fletcher. I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong there.
That was one of those movies that scared me as a not a kid. I guess yeah. I was a kid when a kid. I watched it. It was scary. With the neck bites and everything.
Yeah. And the adults.
I'll say what, though. I did like the military sequences in there. I felt like I'm sure the budget wasn't huge. They did like a cool like battle scene in there.
Yeah. The swirling sand thing I thought was done pretty well. And
yeah.
But yeah, there's good pieces. It's kind of fun for a rewatch. So yeah, the family house is actually right in the same spot as the rest stop from Halloween H2O. So it's actually in Malibu Creek State Park. It's just looks like it's a neighborhood, but it's not. So, I watched Two Wong Fu. Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Because I think it's came up lately, probably because it's Pride Month, and they shot that a little bit over an hour from me in a little small town. So, been there once, and I thought I should. I need to go revisit. But
does Omaha NE have a Pride Parade on the main strip?
I don't know. No, I don't. It's our Pride isn't until next month. So,
it's July.
Yeah, ours is in July. So I just got back from Juneteenth today, which it is like a 97 degree day or something like that here. It's like a little much.
Toasty.
And to cap it off, I watched Requiem for a Dream. It's always a fun.
Oh, very nice.
Late night movie. A picker
upper. It's always a feel good comedy.
Ellen Burstyn, though, is so great. I mean,
yeah.
I get lost in that movie. Once it starts, I can't not watch.
No, it's super well done.
But yeah.
So was that Darren Aronofsky's like first big movie, or was that Pi?
I think, Pi was, I think Pi was at Sundance, and I think he got this after, or a couple years after. And then this is kind of his most successful mainstream, I think, maybe. I'm not sure, but to me, this is his most solid movie.
Yeah, I think many would agree with you. You were sending some stuff about Scream 6. They're doing another Scream.
Yes.
And they were talking, you know, there's a lot of spoofs of the Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. And I thought you were just joshing around, but apparently it really does take place in Manhattan.
It does. People have been making great posters, and that's what I sent to you, of riffing on Jason Takes Manhattan posters, except it's Scream 6. And I'm like, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
New York has a new problem.
Problem. Yeah, I think they should just kind of lean into it. And I think I told you, I'm like, I can't wait till the end where Ghostface gets washed up with midnight toxic sludge and becomes a boy again.
I know, the boy, the unexplained transformation. It's so funny. Doesn't he talk in that too? Isn't he like, help me or something?
Mom, he does say something like that.
I can't
remember what. So, and then he vomits up water and.
It's the best.
It's something.
But what's going on with Nev? So Nev said no to New York.
Yeah. Rumors. Obviously, they weren't going to pay her enough, according to her. And then there's rumors that it was like $2 million for 4 days or whatever. So whatever the number happens to be, so be it. But if it's a small part too, maybe she's like, you know what, this is not quite worth my time, or this story is better served without me. So
maybe she had some artistic integrity and been like, you know, maybe this isn't gel.
See, this feels like Halloween Resurrection. I don't want to be the Jamie Lee of Halloween Resurrection.
No. Yeah, maybe there's a good comparison there.
Yeah, who knows?
But I'm surprised they made six of them at this point. This will be the sixth one.
Yeah, this will be number six, and yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think it's a good. It is taking place during Halloween in New York, so which will help because part of it is like, how is Ghostface running around? You know, like it does help that it's Halloween, so people are naturally in costume.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. I think they missed the mark with I Know What You Did Last Winter and have, like, kept that franchise going. That franchise fizzled out.
They could, they'll find a way.
You know what was a good horror movie from that time is Joyride?
Oh, with Paul Walker and...
Yeah, Candy Cane.
Yes, Candy... Was that, is that Buffalo Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Candy Cane.
Ted Levine.
That was a, I mean, it's a cheap, cheesy kind of movie, but there's yeah. It's a fun premise, you know?
It worked. It was kind of a good next... I guess it wasn't like The Hitcher, but, you know, kind of the road, the horror road movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dusty and dirty and...
Right, yeah. Had that feel to it.
Yeah. And I think they made some more after that, if I remember right.
Yeah, they did.
Which is always,
I haven't seen them.
The B-list actors. It keeps going down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just kind of keep layering it on there.
Yeah.
It was like the Jeepers Creepers. They kept making those.
Jeepers Creepers. He was a creeper.
Super creeper. Are you going to see... You're going to see Scream 6 when that's eventually...
I will, of course, go see it. So just... Because even though I really... did not care for the last one at all. I'll still support my horror movies. So,
I know what the first three... I've seen the first three Screams. I know the last one. What was Scream 4, though? Which one was that?
That was it. Was it 2012? That was Wes Craven's last one where Emma...
Yes, you're right.
Roberts and so forth. So yep. It, that had the worst cinematography ever. I just...
Oh, really?
It just... Something looked... It was soft and weird, kind of... The contrast was kind of amped up, and it just didn't seem like a film.
Everybody
kind of looked strange, but they are bringing Kirby back somehow.
Really?
Hayden, yeah, is coming, signed on. So for Scream 6, so I'm not sure if she and I think there was some missing signs or something for her in the last Scream as an Easter egg, but I can't remember. But anyway, but I liked her. That was probably one of my only characters that I really did like from Scream 4.
Yeah, I like Kirby.
Yeah.
I also liked, I like that they're, as for all the joking we're making about going to Manhattan, that they are switching it up and kind of leaning into that. Obviously, the producers, making that decision, who's ever creative choice that was, will understand there's going to be comparisons. And I think that's like fun. It's kind of what we need at this point.
Yeah. Well, at one point, Michael Myers was supposed to go to Chicago.
Was he really?
Yeah.
In the city? That would have been cool.
Yeah, that'd be a little something different. So,
the reason they don't do that is budget constraints. It's a lot to film in a city.
Yeah, hence Montreal.
Right, yeah. Go to Vancouver. Go do the Vancouver or Montreal route. But they should do that. But next up we have... okay, so these are unintentionally hilarious scenes. For anyone listening to the show, there's a lot of references Robert and I will make that of movies that obviously they're not comedies, but the scenes are hilarious. So we're going to play these and kind of go through them because I feel like this list needs to be solidified in podcasting history forever. Mm-hmm. And number one, Robert, is Friday the 13th, Part 3. Shelley's dead. Now, to the naked ear, that's not funny. But just wait. Just wait. All right, here we go.
I can't hear anything.
Every theme park had technical difficulties upon opening up. When Pirates of the Caribbean started, that's exactly what happened. All right. I didn't click sound. Let's try it again.
All right.
Debbie! Let's give that one more for good measure. As you notice, she walks up this Higgins Haven. She's going upstairs because, hey, you got to get away from the killer. And nope. Never leave a fire unattended, folks. But what happens to the chick that just went upstairs? Come back down.
Oh, my God.
What's the purpose of that flight?
She has a stomachache.
Is that what?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's just Shelly. It's the way she says it. If she were to say, like, oh my God, guys, it's Shelly. You'd be like, it's kind of sad.
It's like so casserole slow. Spilt in the on the kitchen floor. You know? Oh my God.
Oh my God. There's food everywhere. So it's funny.
I know that's one of your favorites. So
I love
and that's the actual, I think I took an excerpt from the novel for you too.
Yes, you did. Thanks for doing that. And I love that you own the novel.
Oh, I own both of them.
It's just so great.
The original one when it came out in 82, and then they had another one a few years later, which is a little different.
You own the original?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's was that the one that you showed a picture of?
Probably, yeah. So
that is so cool.
Yeah.
We can get into another time, but I think we should bring that out for a show and talk about it.
The Friday the 13th novels.
Yeah, I want to see these covers. They're so cool.
They are fantastic.
Next on the list is one of Robert's favorites. It needs no introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, The Lost World. And Robert, if you want to say anything about these, let me know if you need to stop or anything.
We'll start with the clip.
You know what? You've talked about this so much, and when I finally rewatched it, he really does have that phlegmy kind of like Rocky Balboa saying it.
Yeah, and it reminds me a little bit. I remember in the theater giggling because I was just like, "What is going on?" So, like, one, it's a weird intonation. The intonation reminds me of Child's Play. Where Andy's look, Chucky. I mean, that's just, it's like the same through your diaphragm type of.
Sarah Harding. Next
and
one.
Sadly, that's the best line in the movie.
Sadly, you're right. And it's unintentionally, except for Vince Vaughn, it seems not supposed to be funny, but it is. Now, next one, there's a cat in Nebraska named Murphy. And if there's like an Amazon delivery driver or something,
yes.
Robert, what happened? This cat, like, repeats this line?
My sister's cat cannot stand, you know, like, or just freaks out anytime a delivery person comes or there's somebody's in the house doing service work or something like that and just hisses and panics and just runs. And so we always cite this line from Halloween 4.
And here it is.
So that's poor Rachel in the
alone.
Almost the final act of Halloween 4. So, and the reason it's so funny, like I did all these years, you know, it didn't really strike me as funny, except we went to a Halloween marathon a few years ago. And when you're in an audience and she shouts that out, telling Michael Myers, leave us alone. The whole audience just cracked up and thought it was like the funniest thing. So anyway, so we always leave have Murphy alone. Say that, leave us alone.
Yeah, leave us alone. And like, it's funny. Yeah, I just love that the cat's saying that. That's she's quote-unquote saying it. But I also think it's funny on another layer that that's the line that they choose in the script. Leave us alone! Not like, you know, run, but like Michael Myers is going to stop and go, you know what, you're right.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize, you know. I didn't realize I was...
But it makes it just so funny that you know, quote your cat as saying that. Because,
yes.
Like, she's that angry at Amazon. Like, leave us alone!
Leave us alone! And it's probably because it's kind of a futile thing. Like, they're not doing anything, you know?
You're right. next, unfortunately, I just have the one queued up, but they're all gold. From Superman 4, this is a scene where Lacey and Lois get out of the car parked at the UN to watch Superman speak. Let's have a listen.
Lois, do you know how much a ticket's going to cost here?
Lacey, it's only money.
Just tucked and Margot, kind of like in the Carrie Fisher, would just start talking through her teeth, you know. Lacey, it's only money.
Lacey, oh yeah, good call on that reference. It's only money.
So I love Margot Kidder, and this movie is every line is gold.
Every line is gold, and she's great in this. This is when she started kind of like going crazy a little bit more.
Well,
but she still keeps it together.
Yeah, she's doing her best, you know, and she's back. And
what was her deal, though? Did she actually have mental illness, or was she just like on drugs?
It was mental illness, so she's had issues kind of all along, but just kind of how she dealt with them. She's obviously went through some rough times. So right after this, our scene when they're in the UN, that she also has one of my favorite lines, Lacey
what's
says,
"What's he gonna say?"
What's he gonna say? And they pan over to Lois, and she goes, "Something wonderful."
that's my favorite line in the movie, and I didn't watch this movie until you mentioned that. And since you mentioned, I watched it like three times.
that scene or the whole movie?
But here, I got the clip for you. Yep, that's the UN.
Madam Secretary, I don't represent any country, but I'd like to address the delegates.
Well, in that case...
I love the cultural appropriation.
I believe that will do. Please.
Here it comes.
Thank you.
Matter of fact,
so
too.
Good. Yeah, you know? I now that Lacey's kind of like, it's kind of a, what's he gonna say? Like,
yeah, like, what's he gonna say? And you expect something like, oh, he's probably gonna talk about the war or something.
Sorry, talk about bombs.
Something. Imagine saying that in real life. Imagine you're at a conference, Robert.
Oh.
And you ask your coworker, like, hey, what's the next segment about? And they just looked at you and went, something wonderful.
But you'd because be I'm out. Me, I would be actually saying that.
You would be something.
And I think I have had say when people ask me something, and I'll be like, something wonderful.
I will go out of my way to bring this up to people. And I just need a very small crowbar. They could be like, hey, did you watch Justice League? I'm like, have you seen Superman 4? And then that just turns into something wonderful.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, next
any
up.
Any occasion.
Any occasion, it works. Next up is... kind of a weird entry. It's a little dark. Mystic River, is that my daughter? But it's more of Sean Penn's acting over the top in this. So let's take a listen.
Is that my daughter in there? Look at my eyes! Is she in there?
Get off my
side! Is that my daughter in there? Is that my
Wait for it.
Daughter in there? No!
That one final.
He's acting his heart out. So yeah, this is a little strange one because, yeah, it is obviously dark unintentionally, you know, but there's just something about it. And I do like, I think our last episode we talked about if everything in Boston, it was all the same universe. Ben Affleck is, and you just go drive by the Parker, like, and you hear just faintly, is that my daughter in there?
Yeah. And then you hear Ben Affleck saying, like, we're going to go hurt some people. You know, it's just, it's all in the same vein.
Yeah. Someone needs to make a supercut.
Right.
Boston supercut.
Boston supercut. I'd be on board with that. Next is Stanley Kubrick's famous The Shining. And I don't know if you find this funny. I just find the accent hilarious, and it's just so spoofable. So this is the bathroom scene with Grady at the Overlook.
Matches and tried to burn it down. But I corrected them, sir. And when my wife tried to prevent me from doing my duty, I corrected her.
I corrected her. Robert, did you fix the payroll error? I corrected.
And he's kind of doing rolling the R's, kind of like you do in Spanish a little bit, you know? It is kind of strange,
yeah. Yeah, it's not an English accent. It's just like, corrected them.
He's pronouncing both R's, is what he's saying.
Right.
He's pronouncing every letter.
I corrected her.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, if you're going to have two R's, that's how you pronounce it.
Right, you got to do it. What is the, so Batman versus Superman, why'd you say that name? This was bigger than I thought. There's a lot of, like, memes on this, I saw.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that, like, much of a pop culture thing.
I didn't realize that either. I just remember in the theater unintentionally laughing, like, why'd you say that name? And then I'm like, it's his mother's name. You know, like,
why'd you say that name?
Yeah. And maybe it's more, Amy Adams' line is probably the more unintentionally be like, if I'm saying it right, I'll let you play it here.
This is the scene, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
What does that mean? Why did you say that name?
Find him! Save Martha!
What? Okay. Why? What's the point of that?
I don't know.
It's hilarious, though.
It is, and at the time, when you see this, you stop because you're like, would you? It's weird. Like you would say, "Save my mother," in real life.
Right.
You wouldn't save Jane and be like, what?
What? Save my mother.
Yeah. So I get what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be. And part of me is like, really, the whole versus thing all, I'm sorry, the whole V thing versus,
right.
Was on this precipice of one person's name, you know, and they're like, oh, it changes everything. I don't know. It was like,
yeah. It changes the whole game.
Yeah.
That's a good entry, though. That's a good suggestion. This next one is the number one on the list, I think, of... Mm. This really was not intended to be a humorous scene. Am I right?
No. According to most, no. This was supposed to be pretty semi-serious scene, yeah.
But it's also the most popular on the list in the sense that millions of views and parodied... I mean, this is... We're talking about, of course, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2, Garbage Day. Which is just, it's amazing. And you had the pleasure of shooting an interview with this guy, right?
Yeah, I shot an interview. I brought Eric Freeman back to this location. And
so cool.
He had not been there since they shot in 87 or whenever it was. And I had him in the same spot in the scene. You know, I took pictures of him lined up kind of where it was. So
cool. So let's, without further ado, Garbage Day.
Garbage Day! Huh? No!
Wait, right here. He's not even smoking. It's just so good. That's the best scene.
It is, and so yeah, I was lucky to that
Garbage Day.
He was open to this, and then we talked because I had to ask. I said, "Do you want to say the line?" You know, we're on the spot, and he thought about it. He's like, "No, this is," and it totally made sense because he's like, "No matter what I will come up with, it won't be the same, or it won't, you know, have the same." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get that. He's like, "Just let that live." But I did get him uttering the words "garbage day" because he says "garbage day" and he kind of chuckles and stuff like that because he was just
good.
I did get that and I smidged that in too.
Yeah, but you know,
he kind of gets it. I remember we shot one of the first scenes we shot was behind the diner where he was kind of taking out garbage, and he repeated a line from that scene that at the time it didn't resonate with me that he was telling me he was saying a line from that scene. But he kind of snuck it in there. So he
crowbarred it in.
But,
what I think works so well about that scene is it's shot like a comedy. You know, like when they do the reveal of the trash can being lifted up.
Yeah.
He's like standing there in the street. Like this guy didn't see this guy in the middle of the street at all until the trash cans moved.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious.
It's Sierra Madre. You know, you're not paying attention.
No, you're not. Next one is from Aliens. This is one that we quote at least once every show. And this is, of course, Sigourney in the Weyland-Yutani meeting.
Thank you. That will be all.
God damn it! That's not all. Because if one of those things gets down here, then that will be all. Then all this bullshit that you think is so important, you can just kiss all that goodbye.
You know what I love that I never noticed before is the background has like a scrolling green analog computer.
You can just kiss all that goodbye.
Like, what could possibly be in there?
Well, they had to match that because remember behind her they show images of the Stromo crew and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's information kind of going on, which, you know what I think? It's ahead of its time because that stuff wasn't happening in 86. Yeah. You didn't have everything on big screens that you were kind of pointing to your PowerPoint and so forth. So
not at all.
They knew.
Not at all.
James Cameron knew. But yeah, I think my favorite point is that her goodbye. I mean, you get a little of a East Coast.
Oh yeah.
In there,
you can just kiss all that goodbye. I like that she does the double like negative, where he's like, "That's all." No, that will be all. Then all this bullshit. You know, it's a great delivery, and it's one of those lines as a kid watching this that like you've always remembered that scene, her like lashing out.
And it brings me right back to seeing it in the theater because I saw it on the kind of a Cinerama curved screen.
Right.
So
cool.
It was a huge whatever. And I just remember, and it, obviously, and this was like smoking. See, I mean, that's probably one of the things everybody's chain smoking in this, in the future, in this conference.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it looks so hazy.
Yeah. Everybody's chain smoking. That's so funny. So what is number 10 here? I wasn't able to find a clip, unfortunately.
King
but I
Kong
wish I did.
Lives, 1986, classic. So Linda Hamilton, fresh off the Terminator.
Jumps into the next big blockbuster.
She's just like, oh, this seemed like a good idea at the time. But it's early on in the movie, and Kong's heart's giving out, and he needs blood, you know, and...
he needs blood.
Linda Hamilton has to kind of do this, only one thing can save Kong now, and this doctor's like, what's that? And they kind of do a close-up, a miracle.
A miracle. Is it up there with Something Wonderful?
It is, because it's just one of my favorite. I did not see this in the theater, but I imagine it just would get chuckles throughout the audience. So.
Now, is this the same King Kong movie with the giant, like, operating tools you talked
yes.
about?
Yes. Oh, yes. So she's the doctor holding the giant saw and, you know, like, suction, you know, and it's just like...
And they're really giant?
It yeah, what's giant stuff? I mean, It's a big heart. This is what you have to
work on. No, it is. It's just funny that they make these giant tools.
Can't use normal scalpels.
No, of course not. That was it. A giant scalp. That's hilarious. This is one of your, like, so bad it's good favorite movies, right?
It is. And I do kind of trail off because it does kind of get a little bit, you know, they get into, well, there's Lady Kong and, you know, it's.
Yeah, I watched, when I was looking for the clips, there was a bunch on YouTube. And I was watching it, and it's. Like really slow moving at one point. Like Kong's like slower, but like it's weird. It's funny. It looks funny.
Yeah. It's a good Saturday afternoon romp.
And it's a good Saturday afternoon romp. It's good to fold laundry to.
Yes.
And finally, Robert suggested perfectly Revenge of the Sith, any romantic scene with Anakin and Padme. And I took the liberty of isolating this one clip, if that's okay.
Yes, please do.
Sorry, I went too far.
Can be safe. We can go to the lake country where no one will know. Where we can be safe. I can go early and fix up the baby's room.
His face and just...
I know the perfect spot.
There's better ones, but she's talking about the baby's room.
But I'm so... How can... Yeah, she must be blind. Love must have blinded you.
She's brushing her hair.
Beautiful.
It's perfect.
It's only because I'm so in love.
it's amazing.
No, it's because I'm...
Good for him, though, for resurrecting Darth Vader and Obi-Wan.
Something.
That's well, him. One, that's him and Obi-Wan, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. So so for the romance scenes, obviously these two don't have any chemistry. And I don't know if it's their fault or George Lucas is not known for...
His
being an
scenes?
Actor's director. Yeah. And all their loves, you know, like where they're on the kind of the veranda, you know, and he's talking about sand or he's feeding her weird hairs or something like that, you know. And
well, I should have got the sand one.
But yeah, it's just like all of it is just like, it's creaky. And it makes you think back of like, well, what, you know, it works when people are bumping heads, you know, Leia and Han bumping heads in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
It was a good romance because they were finding their way.
Right.
Lovey-dovey, nobody wants to see that.
No, good point. And the chemistry is so bad, but because it's so lovey-dovey, you weren't buying it on another level.
Hmm.
You know, there was no, like, exciting friction or build-up or anything. It was just lovey-dovey, but they were just so bad at it. It's just so cheesy. Perfectly said, though, about Leia and Solo.
Yeah, that worked, and that's why in Empire and as a Jedi, it doesn't work because they're like, now we're in, you know, like there's nothing for them to,
nothing to fall back on. It's just like, love you.
Now they're a bored married couple, you know.
Right, exactly. It's like Paul Tramer and that chick in Halloween. You know, there's some fun.
Paul my Tramer. Favorite,
what's his name? Ben Tramer.
Ben Tramer.
My favorite line is that when. What's the line where he drives by and they're like, speed kills, you know?
So, yeah.
They need to, Halloween Kills should have had something like that.
They probably,
That should have replaced Evil Dies Tonight.
Yeah, well, so I'd be open to that rather than.
Is Evil Dies Tonight now one of the most infamous taglines now for any horror movie, or is it not there yet?
It's not there yet. I think it was over.
Were they trying to do that though? Because if you think even from a script standpoint, it said quite a lot for a script supervisor to be like, "You're saying this line a lot."
But yeah,
like that, is that intentional?
Well, and there, I think a deleted scene had even more Evil Dies Tonight in it, if I remember right. But as far as like, yeah, we got it, everybody.
Well, I ask because they say it so much, there has to be a reason they're like trying to drill it home. But
it is, and part of me is like, what's wrong with this town? Like,
right. I think, and it didn't die tonight.
Haddonfield, you deserve everything you get. My God, people, like,
you deserve everything you get. Evil Dies.
You weren't paying attention in 63 or 78. This is what you get.
This is 63 or 78. This is what you get. Yeah, they weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
One thing,
Loomis was.
Loomis was on it. I do like, we talked about in Halloween Kills where they were talking about like, oh yeah, the murders a few years ago with the kids. And they allude to it like it recently happened, but it happened decades before. And with the internet, you could find that pretty quickly. So they make it sound like an old, like, well, rumor has it, I forget what the line was, but like, there's stories that the kid, it's like, now it would be pretty well documented that there would be this kind of
thing. I
think
so. But you know what? I was thinking, so I kind of started revisiting, we had a local murderer in 83, where he murdered two boys. So it was a big deal at the time, but I'm not sure how much it resonates today.
Now,
you know, yeah, like,
yeah,
where if I say the killer's name, do people like, who, you know, like, I'd have people probably like, I'd not even realize, half remember, like, oh, I remember that time, you know, because I was a kid then,
or
something like that. But, but yeah, because people do kind of move on and forget. But
my buddy Mike and I created a fictitious killer in Pennsylvania, and it never worked, but his name is Billy Jameson, and he lived in the woods, and he, came out. We used to go to this haunted bridge. It was supposedly haunted with people. And we go, oh, this is Billy Jameson. And one of us, the other, whoever brought it up, the other person would say, oh, don't bring it up. You're going to scare them. And of course, somebody would go, what? What was it? And we go, well, these parts are known from Billy Jameson. And nobody bought this story. But we created this whole like 1800s. He was like a cowboy. He killed people from a bridge. We thought it was going to be like the next Halloween kind of folklore.
Nobody was picking up on it.
Our goal was that it would grow to an urban legend and we would be responsible for like this. But no, it was the name. Billy Jameson isn't scary.
Well, yeah, that I think, yeah, the name was the issue. Like,
and I blame Dixie Malone for not coming up with a better
Malone
name.
Dropped the, she's like, that's the best she could have come up with. Come on.
Come
Dixie.
On.
She's almost fired for that.
She needs that money, but she's almost done. And new segment tonight. This is an exciting one. It's called That Was a Movie. Mm-hmm.
So we are talking about TV shows that are well better known than the actual movie themselves. So let's just start in the first one. So a lot of people know this, but most people know MASH is obviously best known as an award-winning TV series, but it was a movie at the time. And first, I should say.
It was, yeah. But most people, a lot of people wouldn't even know that. Just like I didn't know that was the purpose of this segment, so I'm going to get rid of my first one, which was Heathers, which most people
you have to redo
know.
It all.
Most people know it was
movies,
a movie.
The opposite, yeah. That
They're
was
all
a series?
Here.
Yeah.
But Heathers, we all know the movie. A lot of people did not know it was a TV show.
It was, yeah, not that good, but it came at the wrong time, too.
The movie's good, though.
I still love the movie.
So. Yeah. But, yeah, good call.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, my next one was From Dusk Till Dawn. So I didn't realize that was a TV show either, but it was or is. And I think it only went for like a season. It was very short-lived, but most people familiar with that title know the movie with George Clooney.
Gotcha.
What's the name of the bar in that movie?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that.
Not a fan? Yeah. I'm not huge on it either.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cheesy.
So my next one is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, best known as a TV series, but obviously it was a movie with Luke Perry and Christy Swanson.
And Donald Sutherland.
Oh yeah. I forgot.
Remember he's the guy?
Pee-wee Herb, Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
Is in it. So yeah, I just got asked to, I think I only saw the movie once, find a missing location for that. So I was able to
turn cool.
Or actually a couple locations that somebody's
for the movie?
Yeah, I think Grim Life and Sean Clark were doing a video, so they had a couple missing locations. So
do you remember one of the scenes? Because I know that movie pretty well.
One, they want to know where the gym was for whatever scene that was. And then there's a scene where Luke Perry and somebody are walking. It kind of looks like Griffith Park, but it's not. But
you showed me
that down. But yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Where that happens to be.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. So why? Because I'm a member of the Harry Mole Club. I get to kill vampires.
See, and this is just lost on me.
Christy Swanson, her finest role. I have Westworld. Yes. So people, and you have Westworld too. So most people don't know that it is I think it's 1972, Yul Brynner.
I think it was early 70s, yeah. So Michael Crichton wrote and directed. And it was a big deal at the time, but enough time has passed. They actually made a TV series as well, Beyond Westworld.
They
also had Future World, which is, I think, a TV sequel and stuff like that. Both were not very good follow-ups, but
Westworld. You mentioned Future World before.
Yeah. It's like, whew, it's a lot
it's
to
bad.
Get through. So Westworld, the HBO series, obviously season one in particular, obviously is much better. But I think enough time has passed. A lot of people don't realize this was actually a movie at one point that it's spun off of.
Right. And I actually enjoy the movie Westworld. I think it's, you know, it's a product of its time. But what I like about the film is it's shot with the 70s, like really quick, like zooms. It's like an Omega Man or any of those like 70s movies where it just looks so cheesy, but it's like kind of scary because they do like the shrilling, you know, sound effects. And I mean, for what it is, I've always enjoyed it. The movie. Yeah. It's a fun ride.
Everything's in camera, you know, so everything is real. I can't remember. I think it's supposed to take place in 1996 or something. I can't remember, but
yeah,
the way future. But and this the series does seem to maybe take place in the same universe. I'm not quite obviously at one point there. You can see a Yul Brynner looking in the background of when they're kind of going through the archives. So maybe it's in the same.
Yeah, you're talking about in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, season four comes out I think next week. So we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah, I need to watch the rest of season three.
It's a chore to get through.
Yeah, it was. I gave up after two episodes.
Yeah.
But my next one is Friday Night Lights. Mm. I couldn't tell you the years or what came out first, but it's a football movie, and it kind of is like a Varsity Blues, I guess. But apparently the movie did well with certain groups that they made a TV series out of it.
But the series is much more popular and well-known than the movie.
Oh, yeah, significantly. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But haven't watched either, Robert, so I couldn't tell you.
Me either.
But Friday Night Lights, not made for me.
No, people like it, so.
People like it.
Good for them. Good for them, so.
Yeah.
This one, my next one, I'm not sure. So Fame, obviously, was a movie, but the TV series.
He's gonna live forever.
I think the theme song helped the TV series just.
Oh, yeah.
Go on Fame. And on. So, but the TV series, I mean, it was on for a while, so it was pretty popular.
I remember being a kid and like it was on, you know, like my aunts and babysitting me and like, I'm like, what is this? Like, oh, we're watching Fame. And they were always watching Fame. And I'm like, I'm going to live forever. But so when did the movie come out?
I think it was 80, if I remember right.
It was.
Around there, yeah.
All right.
Seems like that type of. I remember it was always on HBO. Like, ugh. Fame again. Yeah.
Right.
Now we have to wait 2 hours for whatever the next movie is.
Right.
On our one HBO channel.
On the one HBO. No, we had to do this. I have X-Files. Obviously, it was a very popular show first, but they did make it into a film much later than after the show. Kind of past its prime of making a movie. Remember they kind of did that movie?
Yes.
And they didn't really need to?
I can't remember.
I don't know. X-Files.
I have friends that are X-Files fans, but.
Did you watch X-Files?
Mm-mm. Just not my thing.
No. I wanted to. I wanted to get into it. I never really did.
I do like, I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was fine.
I do like, what's her name?
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, yeah. So
Margaret Thatcher in the Crown.
I loved her in Hannibal.
Your husband needs to go back down like a royal man should.
And that's her actual voice.
That's her actual voice.
That's not Gillian acting. That's just.
No, that's the real deal.
That's what you get. So. My next one, I put Alice, the TV series, and it was actually based on, speaking of Ellen Burstyn, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, the movie in 74, so.
Oh, yeah.
So. Early to rise, early
to bed. It's just so great. I never knew about this until two shows ago, and now I know. The movie was in 74?
Yep.
I do that a lot, and sometimes it annoys people, and they ask me to stop. If we watch an old movie and the credits come up, they're just no-name people, but I make it sound like I'm like, oh, you know.
Well, and Vic Rachel was a carryover. Vic was in the movie, so they had a couple carryovers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but
oh, cool.
It's great things. I know Linda Lavin. Well, she's a singer. She does sing that theme song at some of her shows and so forth, which is fun.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Yep.
Alice, I have Entourage for mine, Robert's favorite show. That's a show that does not hold up, unfortunately, for so many reasons. I mean, even when the show came out, the things that Ari would say to Lloyd and, you know, about his sexual preference and then to, like, about his wife, I mean, they were just so bad then. They obviously don't hold up today, but it's just, I don't know. It's misogynistic. The only thing good about the show were the cameos that you're like, oh, I can't believe Snoop Dogg came on, or they got Kanye West. But, I mean, that was it. But, yeah, they made a movie which was terrible. It was like Haley Joel Osment. It was like a oil tycoon son that's like, I'm going to make a movie. And you're just like, oh, it's bad. It's bad.
It wore out its welcome pretty quickly. So
now, this next one you did, I'm astonished.
Yeah, so these are kind of more obscure ones. So What's Happening was a 70s TV show, but it was actually started off as a movie.
Raj.
Cooley High. The Waltons, which I did not know this, was actually a movie first, and then it became a TV show. And obviously that was on for, I felt like, decades. It wasn't that long, but.
Yeah, and it only took place from like the late 30s to like World War II. It was like it was like the MASH. The Korean War was only 4 years, but the show was like 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
So, but which is fine.
The events are happening in real time.
In real time. I like the Waltons, though.
I remember it was always on, you know, at the grandparents' farm. I was like, not the Waltons. It's like, watch real life. It's right here, you know.
Good night, Joe Bob. Good night, Dad.
And I do have a little regret because I can't remember, what's the guy's name? John Boy. Because he was
John
in,
Boy.
Yeah, he did a Hollywood show and I'm like, oh, whatever. And then
he's in Ozarks.
Yeah, in Ozark. I'm like, oh, I should have. He was really good in Ozark.
Yeah, he was good.
That was great casting. So.
He's like the grandfather.
Yeah. And of course, It, you know.
Yeah.
But he had that horrible ponytail in It, if you remember.
Oh, terrible.
The writers.
I just wanted to cut it.
Writer's 80s ponytail.
So. Oh, I just wanted to slice it.
Parenthood was a more recent TV series. With Craig Nielsen and Bonnie Bedelia and a whole bunch. It was a popular TV series. I didn't watch it, but
right.
But it was actually, most people know this, it was a movie, but it was actually a TV series twice. It had a TV series not too long after. But
I remember that. I didn't watch it, but I remember that they did that.
Yep. So, and the other one's a little stretch too, that I think we all remember Teen Wolf was a movie first, before they had this MTV-ish series.
But I know. The movie's funny though, and he comes in and he's doing like the wolf dance at the prom.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember My Mother's a Werewolf?
And I think that takes place in Nebraska, if I remember right. Yeah, I think they have Nebraska stuff in the background.
That was a fun
supposed to be, yeah.
That's cool.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Teen Wolf. Yeah, Teen Wolf's fun. That's a good list, though. Those are good. Those are good entries on there. I like the concept.
We like our TV.
We like our TV. And finally, we have Blind Man's Bluff. Ooh. And Robert, we lucked out on this one.
Of what is it?
It was K10.
Okay.
Which brought us to. I'm gonna do a reveal. Dun 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 dun. Dun. Karate Kid Part 3.
Oh my gosh, I hope I updated it. I think I did since my last trip. So
Karate Kid Part 3 was updated on June 30th, 2020, and the film was made in 1989. The foreword reads, "The Karate Kid Part 3 celebrates its anniversary today, originally released June 30th, 1989. I'm reading the segment, listeners. Obviously, we know that it's not today's date. A guilty pleasure for sure. The law of diminishing returns for sequels can't be more evident than it is here. Although it was certainly rectified with the Cobra Kai series. I've been to a couple of locations over the years." This is such a fun entry on the Seth Jeter world. It really is.
Look at those palm trees.
Sadakoy Street. This is the, you and I drove here, the South
Street. Yeah, we did actually, because I needed a better across the street shot. Even though I've been there a couple times over the years, but I needed a wide shot. So, South Seas, everybody can go visit. I'd been there years before. Now there used to be an empty field next to it. And now
I remember.
It's kind of built up, but it happens. It's LA, you know.
It's LA. It happens.
It's the 80s.
It's the 80s. This is Silver's Mansion, the Ennis Brown House.
Yes. And I kind of I didn't sneak inside, but I did sneak into the drive and porch to get some pictures, as you can see. So it's usually gated off. And
I was going to ask you how you did that.
Well, during one of my visits, it was open. So I walked in and took a few pictures. And then I saw some workers start to look at me like, "Hey, you're not supposed to be here." And I do my wave and walk off. Thank you.
Hey, it's that squirrely kid. Get him. Now, what is the Ennis Brown House? Like, what does it function as now?
I don't know if people live there, but it's certainly not open to the public, I don't think. But yeah, so it's, and
this
it was
like
the
thing.
Yeah. And what was it? Which haunting movie? I can't remember what it was, but it's been used in.
It was in House on Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill. So Blade Runner used it as well to kind of have that futuristic. But yeah, so that was Terry's house.
Terry Silva. He looks like he pissed his pants. So this is the realty office. Refresh my memory. Why was LaRusso here?
He wanted to buy a place for Mr. Miyagi to sell his tree. So kid can just
that blooming go to LA Century, market.
Yeah, go to Century 21. Like, I want to buy something.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a. That's funny. It's good that you found this, though, especially based on the clues.
Yeah, that I don't know if I think other people had found this particular one. So
I think you found it first.
But and then, of course, the pottery store was, or the bonsai shop, I should say, was built as kind of a facade. And it kind of looks like it, too. It's obviously.
Yeah, you're right.
They found the old scraps. They're like, "This is all you got for your budget."
It really
looks like
does.
The cabin from Friday 13th Part 2, now that I look at it.
Oh, yeah, in the woods.
They're
just thrown together.
Transplanted it. So.
Also, how does something like this get past zoning and code compliance?
There's That's like, how Daniel was able to buy it.
Right.
Like, don't tell anybody, but.
So funny.
But yeah, next to a real railroad. And
really works.
Pottery store right across the street.
And this was literally right across the street.
Yep. So. Over the years, I've kind of gone back to get kind of more proper matching shots.
Now, and where is, right, you have to update it. No, it looks great, but where is 130 North Avenue 50? I didn't never even heard of that.
I thought it was kind of near Glendale, if I remember. So
okay.
I'll pull up my map to kind of see. But yeah, it's kind of right between Glendale and Pasadena. So, or kind
I'll
of
gotcha.
Alhambra and stuff like that. So it's kind of in this weird. In the middle, just kind of south of Occidental College. So,
okay.
You can usually tell anytime you see Avenue 50s or whatever, it's usually nearing the Pasadena area.
Makes sense. Good to know. This, of course, is Santa Monica.
Yep.
On Ocean Ave.
I had to search for where's the right spot. I had to use the buildings in the background to.
That's how you found it. Pretty good. Yeah. And I love his truck.
You know me. I'm always matching up fire hydrants and all that stuff.
No. It's good. It's good work.
Otherwise, there's not too many clues. Obviously, there's no real drinking fountain around. So.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. It's like tough to find that. This is an interesting story, how you got in here.
Well, I knew where we all knew where the outside of the club was shot. And so I was getting some more proper pictures. And I went inside and they were setting up for a wedding. And I asked, I'm like, oh, can I take pictures or whatever? And I didn't bring any screenshots, but I kind of knew, you know, this was used. So she gave me like an hour tour of the whole place. It's like four or five stories. And they've shot a bunch of different things in this place.
That is so cool that you got access to that. This was in Oak Street.
Yeah, so this is right outside of downtown.
Got it. Cool,
the best,
nice shot.
The best place of L.A.
No, not at all. And here's you with Ralph Macchio. Where was this taken?
Slam Dance Film Festival in 2008, I think it was. I just bumped into him in the lobby, and it was nice enough to take a picture.
And here's you with the great Sean Kanan.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, I forgot about that. At the Hollywood Show.
It's the Hollywood Show in Burbank?
Yeah, that's the Hollywood Show. He really did not age at all.
No, he's still, I'm so jealous. He doesn't age.
Oh, and Randy Heller. I forgot that if I remember right, Ralph really was pushing for her to have a cameo in this film. Like, you've got to get Randy in there and so forth. That's where you have this, I'll kind of write, you know, the Chrissy Snow, like, I can't go, I can't make the movie.
Send someone to me.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So she got a day's work out of it.
That's exactly what it is. They just throw them in there. They couldn't even get like Richard Dreyfuss for Jaws 2. He's like, I'm not doing this. So they're like, he called.
Yeah.
But this is hilarious because when was this taken?
That was at the Hollywood Show as well. So yeah, she was right next to Sean, as you can kind of see in the background. So.
Well, that's what I want to bring up. Yeah. He still sells these shirts.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, like I have one in my closet.
Nice.
He's like this. He still pushes these, but this is probably what, like 10 years ago?
No, this is just
recently,
three years ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. It's a great shirt.
You
it's
may
cool.
see, I'm also wearing a Jonesy shirt from Alien.
Oh, the cat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's his face.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Where did you get this?
I think a friend got that for me.
That's
you
such can a see cool a, shirt.
You can see a better shot in the Sean picture and stuff like that. So my thinner days. Which
speaking of not aging, Robert doesn't age either.
Well, I've gained some weight since that picture. So,
but that's the good thing about shaving your head. Is
that's
you're
why
like,
you thought it was 10 years ago. You're like,
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, because you don't age. It could have been 30 years ago. It could have been last week. You look the same. Martin Cove. Also at the Hollywood Show?
Yep, of course. Actually, that was Horror Hound that I met him at.
Horror Hound.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Yeah,
actually, I do. Now that I see that picture, I did do some updates that I need to add to the website. So I got some long shots of him walking up to the dojo that I have not updated yet. So.
Oh, nice. I just want to comment on any page I see without a comment to help pump up the SEO. Yeah. Oh, but these are great pages, though. Anniversaries this week. You have a few that you're posting.
Yeah,
I saw
E.T.
was last weekend.
E.T. had its 40th anniversary, which is crazy. I had not done a page for that, so that's why I did a quick turnaround for that.
Okay. I watched the movie again when you posted that. I was like, it's on Peacock, and you inspired me to watch it, so I watched it. But I wanted to ask you a question about E.T.
Yeah.
When you were at this house,
are
they, obviously it's one of the most famous houses in film history, and I know you're always respectful, but does anyone like, do you get any resistance or do people kind of like know that's what you're doing?
I'm sure people know. I mean, the E.T., everybody goes to the E.T. house. So, and I've never gone up the drive. I've seen pictures of people taking pictures on the porch, which I'm like, you know.
It's trespassing at that point.
Yeah, there's a little, I was like, I love the movie, but. But for me, the most part, the iconic shots are these kind of long driveway because it really set the stage and location, you know, for the film. Like kind of his backyard is into the wilderness and so forth. But
yeah, I think it'd be funny if you went into a house and there's pictures of people in the back, like on the phone with calling the police or like with a shotgun, and you're like, here I am inside at 2 a.m. Like,
I did it. But this is also one of those houses that I bring first-time LA visitors to because they want to go to the iconic places, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what I like about this house is they really didn't do any work to the exterior. I mean, the structure of the house, it looks pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I did talk to somebody the other week. They didn't know I knew the set jetter as well as I do.
Oh.
And they were talking about locations. And I said something like, oh, they filmed whatever there. Like, oh, you know what? This is where I know where the playground is, where they filmed E.T. I could show you where that is. And I was like, you don't listen to my podcast, do you? I know the set jetter. And I showed him your website. He was blown away. You know, he thought it was a great site, but he had no idea. And I'm like, oh, no. You don't tell me about
set
locations or set jetting. I tell you where they are.
So, yeah, I went, yeah, that, the Porter Ridge, the park. I mean, it was like, it was one of those rainy, cold days in LA. I think it rained the whole week we were there. So that's why I have some kind of poor shots in and out of the rain to get that. So, but.
Yeah, I love it, though. I love how the same, like, toy exists. They're, like, never taking that down.
Yeah, hopefully they shouldn't, because some of those need, obviously, the dome type thing, those are probably illegal now. Broken arms that take place. So, but I'm glad they have held on to the caterpillar.
Yeah, this thing is like a death trap.
Thingy or whatever that is. So,
yeah, but,
Right. So I haven't really done too many locations for that one, just kind of the main ones. But there's other people that have really kind of gone to all the streets and all that stuff. But one day, maybe for the 50th.
Do you feel like a movie like E.T., something that every set jetter does, is kind of like an amateur hour?
I don't know.
Maybe
if
not amateur hour, but you have bigger fish to fry than E.T. because it's been done to death, right?
Yeah, I'm just kind of let people have it, you know, kind of like the Back to the Futures and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
A lot of the cast I was able to meet over the years.
It's pretty cool. I wish to see Thomas Howell was in it.
Oh yeah. So, and one of my biggest convention regrets is C. Thomas Howell and D. Wallace were right next to each other, and I forgot they played mother and son in Secret Admirer. I was like, oh, I should have got a picture with them together. So it's one of my
missed opportunity
favorites. Yeah. So,
Robert McNaughton when you met him? Was he like a nice guy? You remember?
He seemed nice guy. It kind of seems like one that he's not actory, you know, and so this is enjoying his thing, you know, but it was kind of like, yeah, I'm here. And he kind of prayed nose. I'm like, yeah, I'm the one that's not doing, you know, between Drew and Henry Thomas kind of had a resurgence. Drew is still going strong, but
yeah. Henry Thomas definitely has done like a lot of stuff.
Now I was like 15 feet away from Drew for a whole Madonna concert. So if that counts for anything.
Oh no, that does count.
Yeah.
Who's this creepy guy looking at you in the back?
I don't know. He's like, oh, maybe I should have done the out of focus in the background.
Oh, I hope he's not in a wheelchair. I'm going to hell.
You are going to hell. Hope you're happy. So
I'm not. That's terrible. Okay. I'm just commenting. There's a face looking like, what the fuck are you looking
at? Usually sometimes I'm prying behind people. Usually I try to get out of people's pictures because you do, you know, people are taking pictures with their celebrities and then you have somebody in the background with kind of a weird look like, what? Am I in the picture?
And finally, I want to bring up this, the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Oh, yeah.
I've not heard of this.
110th anniversary on June 10th.
You don't typically do, as you mentioned here, things outside of movies and television, but once in a while you do a real life location. Now, when I hear axe murder, I always think of Lizzie Borden, but this is a whole different thing. And I read the Wikipedia entry on this, so you know it's all true. And it's really fascinating. They never found like who did this.
No, it's a creepy. Eight people murdered and small Iowa house. And I don't know. They did. Near the end, you'll kind of say they did make a movie, but it's not. It's kind of a mention of the. You know, I don't know how they got away with kind of calling it The Murders of Villisca, or however, whatever the name, movie's name is called. But it would make a good long HBO series, I think. But I don't know if it has enough meat to it, because there's a lot of different theories out there. And it could be just exploring those different theories. So it kind of feels like an HBO-ish thing. But my sister and my friend, they're more into true crime than I am. And this is literally a little over an hour from my house. So.
Oh, wow. So it's not a bad drive at all.
Yeah. But I was kind of surprised, because it was the Sunday that we went, I think. And it was nonstop people coming for tours.
Really?
Yeah. So one of the creepy things is, because I think somebody commented that all the mirrors are covered up with blankets or sheets and so forth. So that's what the killer did. The killer covered up all the mirrors.
Oh, like, oh, this is a window, but there's like a bathroom or something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, like so right here. Here you go.
All the mirrors are the killer covered up. So there's creepy
things. Really? That's so creepy.
To that kind of add to it. People had asked, because I posted this on a Death Hags website or whatever, like, did you feel anything? And I'm like, I didn't, you know, like...
No, you didn't feel any presence?
I wasn't having, you know, any kind of presence. But people do claim that...
They feel
something.
Yeah, a lot of bad stuff happened there. And this house is preserved. This is how it looked like.
Well, not exactly how it looked, because it was lived in for years or whatever. Nobody really... I mean, people knew things happened here, but other people lived in there. I mean, but change things and whatever. So not everything is really period. But the new owners kind of is taking advantage of that. And you could spend the night there if you really want to. And
so nobody lives there now. It's more of just a tourist spot.
Yeah. So somebody owns it, and they kind of the garage barn next to it is kind of where you start. It's not really a tour. It's kind of a self-guided tour, but, got some
creepy.
Nice Andyville windows in the attic and creepy dolls they obviously put on purpose, but
yeah. But still, that's quite a creepy attic.
But at least, you know what, they're in it, you know, like hey, come check this out. And
yeah, and it's cool. What's like, just curious, what's the cost of admission for a place like this?
Oh, I think it was like 10 or 15 bucks. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
nothing to.
And this is in Iowa.
Yep, so cross the river. And
That is so cool.
Yeah, so people travel from all over to go to this house. So it's a bigger deal than I thought it was. But
yeah, no, I'm not familiar with it. Not that I would be necessarily that kind of stuff. But when I read about it, I was like fascinated by it. And that's cool that you did it. Villisca Cemetery is where they were buried.
Yep, so we went to visit all the graves. So obviously there were kind of two plots of the... It was mostly one family, and then some of the girls that spent the night were also killed. So they're not too far from each other. Of course, it's not a huge cemetery, but you can see people leave a lot of stuff, some toys and stuff for the kids.
That's creepy. Oh, and a movie was made, the 2016 The Axe Murders of Villisca.
Even though it's not... Yeah. What's strange is they used a LA house for the axe murder house. Obviously, they're not going to be filming in there, and it's not quite as interesting, the real house. But they actually did in the movie have establishing shots of Villisca driving around and stuff like that. So, and then they show up in the middle of LA.
Right, they're in the middle of LA, you do.
So this was
that's a cool thing, though.
This house is better known as the funeral home from Phantasm 2.
All roads lead back to Phantasm 2.
It does. So I've been there. Actually, I think next weekend I'll be back at this spot to take some more shots.
Oh, you're coming back to town. All right.
I'll be back in town.
I'll get the Stand 2020 ready. We'll watch Ezra Miller and Amber Heard not age in that.
Not
in
their final bows as actors.
That's funny. That's awesome, though. I forgot to come back. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Is Hollywood done with Ezra Miller now after the latest shenanigans?
I think so. I think the latest I heard that is that he will not be returning. The good news in these kind of multiverses, they can find a way to switch these people out and nobody cares. And I don't think people are like, oh, but he was so, you know.
No, he was never in a full movie where he was the lead as the Flash. It was always supporting. I think he would have been replaced immediately if they didn't have $200 million spent on a movie they're hoping to make $1 billion off of next year.
Yeah.
Because the Flash comes out, is done filming. So they're like, what do we do with this $200 million movie? So they're kind of riding it out. But I heard, yeah, I heard the same thing you did. Once it's done, they're done with him.
Which is fine. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, nobody's tied.
Yeah.
We all know him as the trash can man.
That's right.
It's so bad.
Oh, you know, and years, 10 years in the future, they're going to have like, you know, the Where Are They from The Stand, you know, 2020. And then like former actress Amber, you know, like.
Right, right. It's all
former actor. Yeah.
What a cursed set. Yeah. James Marsden needs something. Needs
yeah. Maybe it'll be the new cursed series of like The Stand.
It looks, it's shaping up that way.
Everybody would, I can't remember who was like, Whoopi never appeared in film again.
Yeah. Whoopi never did a thing again. James Marsden scandal rocks Hollywood.
I can't remember who else was in there, but
Skarsgård.
Oh yeah. I guess he's still. Now I try to watch what's the Northman? What's it?
Oh yeah, is that any good?
No, I did my best to. I did my really? Best. Yeah,
I was gonna fire that up the other night, and I was just like, "Hey, I'm not gonna get involved tonight."
Insomnia, it's your movie.
is it really bad?
I could not. Yeah, not since The Phantom Menace have I not been able to stay awake.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow, that bad.
Yeah, I'm like, what are they doing and who cares? And some people seem out of time. You know what I mean? Like, oh, what century is this? Because you're not looking like you're looking like a 21st century woman here, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not buying it.
And everything. I was like, wait a second, is this supposed to be funny? So yeah.
Northman. Yeah, there's been a lot of marketing on that, and I keep seeing it pop up, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not biting. And now after you said that, definitely not.
You could give it a good 10 minutes and see if it's like, is it me or is it just, I don't know.
I did turn on Police Academy, the show. I couldn't get through that.
How was it?
It was on Tubi at one point.
Yes.
After we spoke about it.
Did you watch it?
I should probably sit down and watch a full episode.
I have.
But I couldn't. I was like, I can't do this. It's just so.
Think of all those people that put their time and hard work into making Police Academy the TV series, and you're just throwing it away like an old paper cup.
What's funny, though, is I think it was like 98 or 97, well past the prime window of Police Academy, you know? It's like doing a Quantum Leap movie now or something. It's like, it's bizarre.
It kind of shows that we think kind of running IPs into the ground has been a newish thing, but they've always been doing it.
They've always been doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
They just do it better now.
Yeah, and without the internet, we probably would have forgotten that some of these things exist. I didn't even realize Police Academy was a TV series. So.
I didn't either until we talked about it, which is hilarious.
Thank God for Tubi.
Thank God
for sponsor of tonight's show.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Tubi. Watch all six of Bruce Willis's movies that came out last year on Tubi. Tubi's funny because they have some good movies, but then they have, it's like 10% great stuff and then 90% crap. So you like click around. It's like movie night, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Dr. Sleep. And then
if you like Dr. Sleep, you'll love Police Academy, the TV series.
If you like Gangs of New York, you'll love the Steven Seagal movie from the 80s. No, I wouldn't. I absolutely would not. But inaccurate.
You find little gems in there every once in a while, so you really have to.
You do.
You have to spend your time and click through. So a lot more gems than you would find on Netflix, you know, like just obscure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I love Tubi. I think it's. When in doubt, I'll fire up Tubi and I will find something.
Find something to.
Yeah. All right. But that's going to be our show tonight. Robert, I want to say thank you again for coming on. This is Set Cheddar Saturdays. Please check out Robert's website, of course, at setcheddar.com. And we will see you on the set. Good night, everybody.